I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Okay, I don't mean to step on toes today, but here are a few questions for you. I pray you know this is the grace zone that we're all about, moving towards health, healing, wholeness, deeper life in Christ, powerful life on earth. If you've listened long enough, you know that is absolutely my heart. So here are some questions. Are you ready? How would you describe your relationship with food? Do you eat when you're stressed, or maybe when you're blessed, when you feel like just you want to celebrate, or when you're overcommitted, or when you got a big decision to make? Did you know that according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, approximately 74% of Americans are overweight, and children are becoming more and more obese? And so this is the tough news. We are a very unhealthy nation. But here's the good news. We can change that stat starting today, one life at a time, one story at a time. We don't have to buy in to the narrative that we don't have options. We do. And there'll always be a reason for hope, because God cares about your physical health and your spiritual health. In fact, my guest today says this: no matter what is happening in our lives, our physical and spiritual health need not fluctuate with the ebb and flow of life circumstances. The spiritual tug of war to exchange unhealthy patterns with God-honoring habits is the ultimate food fight. And Almighty God can help you achieve a new and healthier way to live. Can somebody give me an amen right off the bat? Amber Lee. Leah is my guest today. She's got a new book titled Food Triggers, Exchanging Unhealthy Patterns for God-Honoring Habits. Unhealthy Patterns for God-Honoring Habits. What an important topic. We got a good stack of copies to give away today. If you want to improve your relationship with food, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. A couple of quick announcements. We've got a major promotion coming up. Well, it's going on right now, but it really will culminate this Thursday and Friday. We want to do our part in helping to end global poverty. And really, you know, there's enough wealth in the world right now to end global poverty. And so we're asking you to prayerfully consider sponsoring a child. If you want more information, hop on our website, myfaithradio.com. Look at the One Child link. And if you want more information, you're going to see pages and pages of children who are waiting for sponsorship. We're super excited about this, to partner with One Child. It's an amazing organization. More information on the web at myfaithradio.com. All right. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. And Steve, I can always count on you for an amen. He's my buddy. Let me just say it. Amber Leah is an in-demand certified health coach who has experienced her own health transformation. She's a busy mom of four. She's the co-author of the parenting book Triggers, as well as Marriage Triggers. She and her husband co-run a faith-friendly TV and film production company. They live in Southern California with their boys. You can find out more about her on the web at amberleah.com. Amber, so great to meet you. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Susie. I have been looking forward to this.
Well, I am so looking forward to this conversation as well. It's just so in my lane, and I really appreciate the honesty in your book. And before we get into your backstory, we love to start every day talking scripture, and I just know that you love God's Word. So what's He been talking to you about these days?
You know, lately, and I talk about this a lot with my readers, is I'm always advocating to absolutely commit and prioritize time in God's Word, because that is the only thing that sustains me. I've seen that over the course of my life. And every day I actually read a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of New Testament, a little bit of Psalms and Proverbs. And one of the Psalms that has really stuck in my brain recently is Psalm 119, verse 9. And it says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word." And, you know, I'm a homeschool mom. I homeschool my four boys. We're around each other a lot. And I see so much of our culture influencing everybody around us. And it influences us, too. And so this is just encouraging to me that if I do my part to really point them to God's word and to do that in my own life, then God will always do His part, that He's going to help guide and protect my kids. And so that brings me a lot of comfort.
Yeah, I have an intercessor who often says, God is responsible for the outcome of my obedience. And right. I just love that because he is. Outcomes are in his hands, you know. Yeah, we show up, we offer ourselves, and we let God breathe life onto our offering. Well, I would love a little backstory, not only of your faith journey, but of your relationship with food.
Well, you know, I've been in the church since I was a baby, grew up in a Christian home, and really came to saving faith at a young age and have really spent my life walking with the Lord. I've had my ups and downs like everybody else, and it's not been a perfect journey, but I have really dedicated my life to the Lord in that when I go through my challenges and my struggles, I really want God to do a work in me. And as he, because, well, honestly, Susie, I've just had a lot of messed up moments and I've needed God to redeem me and to help me and then to point me in the right direction and to sustain me. And so he's been faithful to do that in every stage of my life, whether it was my parenting when I was an angry mom, frustrated and, you know, feeling like parenting wasn't turning out like I thought it was, to struggles in my marriage, and then eventually to taking a good hard look at my reality of being 85 pounds overweight 3 years ago and recognizing that that was not going to lead anywhere good in the future. And I was really even missing perhaps opportunities down the road to do the kingdom work I felt God called me to do because I wouldn't even be physically fit enough to do them. And so just throughout the stages of my life of conviction, leaning in and trusting God to help transform me, and then just wanting to pass that on to others transparently and practically.
Yeah. Talk about, you know, I write very transparently as well. So I just so appreciate that because nobody needs the polished facade for someone to say, you know, I actually had someone say this to me in my early years when I was, my challenge has been health stuff. And this one pastor leader guy said, he literally said this, I personally don't have any problems, but I can see that you have lots of them. So if you need anybody to talk to, and I'm like, probably won't be talking to you. So anyway, I always appreciate when people are super honest about the struggle because we need Jesus every hour. Now, what's interesting is you have a backstory of health and fitness. But four boys, come on, that in itself is enough to throw someone for a loop. But were there any other factors? I mean, that is enough. I mean, really, the stress on our bodies to deliver. I have three boys. You delivered four. Were there any other factors playing into that, Amber? What was going on for you?
Well, you know, so it really all started. I had been a recreational bodybuilder before I was married and had kids. And I knew a lot about fitness, but I didn't have a healthy mindset. So those are two different things. You could have, you know, a fairly physically fit body, but then be not in a good place emotionally, spiritually, and with that mindset. And that was definitely a good descriptor of me. I was lacking in that area. Eventually, I had my sweet, precious boys, and I was able to stay fairly health conscious after my first couple of sons were born. But as time went on, you know, adulting happens, life happens, you get more responsibilities on your plate. You start to, I think, especially as a mom, I had that very self-sacrificial attitude where I started turning my attention more to my family than to my own needs. And eventually found myself going through some grieving and some loss, some, you know, transitions and moving to different cities and things like that. And I just allowed the stress of those issues to turn me into a mindless eater. And I became a person who I didn't recognize because I had taught for years about self-control and allowing the Holy Spirit to dictate my words, my actions in my parenting. I had, like I mentioned, I struggled with anger and yelling and just frustration as a mom when my kids were little, and God did a really transformative work in my life. And I felt like I had that fairly dialed in. He did the same with my marriage, but then I recognized, you know, at 85 pounds overweight after my last son was born in my early 40s, that it was much harder to lose the weight than it had been before. And I really felt like this wasn't just about the scale, that the transformation wasn't just going to happen there, that it needed to happen in my mind. And so I began to study, like, okay, why is this such an issue for me that I'm struggling with my weight and my health? And what does this mean spiritually? And it was a very much a blessing that I never stayed very long in the shame place. It was there for a while, that shaming, beating myself up mentality. But God quickly reminded me that those messages to myself were not from Him, and that I needed to simply trust Him moment by moment, find a good plan that would work for me, but then also to just recognize that He was going to grow me spiritually so that I wasn't turning to food for comfort, for peace, for reprieve, for reward, and I was going to turn to Him. And that's what I did moment by moment 3 years ago, released 85 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, and have kept it off, and now just trying to pay that forward and help others too.
That is amazing, and it's a really good place to break. But friends, maybe yours isn't eating, maybe yours is drinking, or maybe it's spending, or maybe it's scrolling. I really believe there's help for you today as well. Again, no condemnation, no shame. But what's so interesting, Amber had said in the book that she once thought that if you're godly enough, you won't struggle. And then she realized that wasn't true. And she said, my weakness did not mean I was worthless. Your weakness does not mean you're worthless. I feel like there's a lot of helpful help in this book. It may be titled Food Triggers, but there are a lot of things that trigger us, and I think it'll be helpful for you. If you feel yourself kind of held captive by your default choices to not have to feel, we really want to see you free today. Love to know how you're doing with that. Does this resonate with you at all? Text me back and let me know. We've got a good stack, thanks to Bethany House. They're always so generous with their giveaways. We've got a good stack to give away. I want to say probably like 8 copies, something like that. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. I don't know why that song gives me goosebumps. It's probably why I use it about 3 times a week. Thanks for tuning in. I'm talking with Amber Leah. Her book is titled Food Triggers, Exchanging Unhealthy Patterns for God-Honoring Habits. And we got a good stack to give away. And maybe, again, your trigger isn't food. Maybe it's drinking or shopping, spending, scrolling. But the point is that your God-given call is so significant, the devil will do whatever he can to hold you captive. And I just believe with everything in me that the Spirit of God is moving across God's people because he wants us free so that we are positioned in that path of promise to do the next thing he has for us. And God has a God-given assignment for you, and he wants you to be free. This is the no condemnation zone. This is the grace zone. But let's be super honest about the defaults that we turn to so that we can be free. You know, we'll never be free from the stuff we refuse to acknowledge. Amen. Amen. We've got a handful of copies to give away today. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Oh, Mary, I love you. Okay, I'm chuckling because she's so cute. She says, oh my gosh, I cannot quit smoking. Help. I've stress smoked for 35 years. I want to quit so bad. And why I chuckled is because her next text was, well, cigarettes, of course. God bless you, Mary. But I'm wondering, Amber, if you just even have a word of encouragement for Mary today.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So what Mary just described relates to so many different kinds of struggles, right? That's when we feel weak. And that was me 3 years ago on the couch having another heaping bowl of ice cream, which was my unhealthy pattern every night, was how do I stop doing this? I feel so weak. And Ephesians 1:11-12 says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose, he is working out in everything and everyone. And it brings me a lot of relief to know that he's doing the good work in me. He's going to help within Mary to, you know, find the resources she needs to help her on the path that she has. But our weakness does not make us worthless. And it's not the whole story. Today is not the whole story of who we are. The past is the past. We can throw that off and we can look to the future of the good things that God has in store for us. And it's not just cliche. This is God's word. If it is, and we believe that it's true, and we do, then we can trust it. And he has a design for us for glorious living and a purpose for us. Yeah.
Amen. I love that. You know, I said before the break that you once thought that if you're godly enough, you wouldn't struggle with food triggers. And I'm sure lots of people feel that way. And if you think that's true, you're an easy target for condemnation. And then you further wrote, my weakness did not mean I was worthless. It did not mean I was a fraud. It did not mean I would never change. It just meant I was on a spiritual journey with ups and downs. And I love that self-compassion. And maybe say a word about self-compassion, grace, and unrealistic expectations. Because for us really to have supernatural freedom, we've got to, you know, we got to believe God for the impossible. We have to get rid of the unrealistic. You know what I'm saying?
Susie, I know exactly what you're saying. And this is a message that I hope comes through very loud and clear for those who are listening right now and those who read the book, because, you know, all through scripture, we hear about how kind Jesus is, and he calls us to be kind. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit, and we can be really kind to other people and very unkind to ourselves. We can, you know, play these negative messages in our heads. We can shame ourselves. We can feel hopeless and defeated before we even try to start any kind of, you know, health program or some kind of a program to help with any manner of addiction. And that is exactly what Satan wants. He wants us to be unkind to ourselves, because if he can defeat us in our mindset, then we're not going to be hopeful. We're not going to be as effective for the Lord. We're going to doubt his goodness. And that's not where we want to be. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God is not expecting us to be strong in our own effort. If we were, we wouldn't need him. And so the key is, it's okay. Yes, recognize your weakness, but that doesn't mean you don't have value. It just means now you're an open vessel, willing and ready and able for God to do his good work in you. And that's a good place to be.
Hmm. And it's, yeah, one step at a time. And, you know, we cover the health topic once, sometimes twice a month with a functional med doc. And we just are very committed to helping people get healthy spiritually and physically. And so we all, you know, recognize that what works for one may not work for another, because we're all unique and our situations are complex as well as our hangups. That said, I'd be so curious, when you hit that point where it's like, it's time for me to lose 85 pounds, can you share as much as you're willing? What worked for you?
Yeah. So it was 3 years ago. Now, I had been agonizing for some months, really about a year, about where I was at with my health, because I was also starting to experience some medical concerns as a result of my weight. And I knew that if I didn't make a change, nothing was going to change, right? I looked at the trajectory of my life, and I had this, at the time, happy surprise baby who had just turned two. And I knew that if I didn't get this dialed in, that I wasn't sure if I was going to be around when he was old enough for me to really enjoy his life. And that did scare me. I don't like to make decisions because of fear, but it did wake me up to actually looking into some programs, looking into options. And I agree with you, Susie, there are lots of good ones out there. And I think it's just important to find the thing that's going to work best for you. I do think finding a program that's medically designed is helpful. And that's what I did. I found a program that would really fit into my busy lifestyle as a mom with four kids, working from home, homeschooling. I needed something that was simple that would give me a head start while I worked on the spiritual growth piece and the habit piece. So I worked with a company called Optavia, and they are the number one health and wellness company in the world. Actually, they're growing, and I've done a lot of research with them, and I'm really confident in that program. But like I said, lots of options out there. And the key, I think, is to really find balance. And if it's not sustainable, then it will probably not work long term. And so finding something, again, that is going to be easy enough for each individual person to really implement it on a daily basis, I think, is super important. And now I do help coach people with that program, and it's just been a blessing. But I am so excited about anybody who at least is trying and making effort and not staying stuck. That's the key, is not getting into a place of complacency, but doing what you can to keep moving forward in the right direction with your health goals.
Well, I love Richard just texted in. He said, if reliance on God is the goal, then my weakness is an advantage. Man, that preaches, Richard. That's fantastic. Wow, wow, wow. You said this, whatever plan you use to get healthy, the biggest factor for all of us is to exchange unhealthy patterns for God-honoring habits. It's foundational to remember that our weaknesses are not a reason to feel shame. We put our hope in something bigger and better than ourselves. We put our faith in God. And a little bit later in the book, you said, you know, motivation it is a good thing, but it's not, that won't sustain you. What you actually need is a habit. So maybe make that distinction between, you know, passion and motivation versus an actual habit.
Yeah. You know, it's important to know your why, what the reasons are that you want to get healthy. For me, it was my kids. It was that autoimmune disease that was flaring up for me. It was that spiritual conviction that I needed to make some changes. So those were some good reasons initially that motivated me in the right direction. But motivation is not real reliable. It comes and goes. And so the key to long-term success is habit formation. And if you have a habit in place, then it doesn't matter whether you're really motivated or not. So for example, probably most of us brush our teeth on a regular basis, and we don't feel wildly excited about brushing our teeth. Like, I can't wait to wake up in the morning and do that. But it is simple and it's doable. And I know that there's a benefit to doing it. And so for some of us, even we have it in a little holder by our sink in the morning so that when we go, there's that visual cue. Oh, there's my toothbrush, brush my teeth. So it's a habit, right? And it is a good, healthy habit to have. And so our food habits can be similar. And that's why I give lots of practical helps throughout the book, because sometimes we just don't know where to start. But if we can minimize the overwhelm and realize that if we can just do some simple habits every day, it doesn't matter how we feel about them. We can remove the emotional piece. But if we just keep doing the right thing over and over and over again, it can have an incredible life-changing transformation in our lives.
You remember, I've said this before, but years ago, my hubby, I just realized he wasn't drinking enough water. And I just said, honey, just let's start there. You know, drink 10 glasses of water. He's a big guy, you know, drink 10 glasses of water a day. And in a month, he lost about 30 pounds just from adding a water discipline. Water. Got about a minute and a half to our break here at the bottom of the hour, but maybe make a suggestion for an easy start. Start here. Any thoughts?
Well, your husband's got it right, you and he together, because water is one of the things that I promote actively, because I didn't realize how significant hydration is. So we want to, you know, on average, depending on people's size, like you said, around 64 ounces a day is a good average. And having, again, a visual cue to help you. So get those water bottles out, put them in places where you're working or at home where they're visible. And every time you see one, just take a few sips. Your body requires that much water every day. And if you're not getting it, you're literally circulating dirty water through your organs. That is not a healthy thing. And it's a super simple thing to implement for all of us starting right away. And then sleep, trying to protect at least 7 hours of sleep every night. It will affect weight loss, but also so many other aspects of your health, your mindset, your ability to be more productive during the day. Two simple habits everybody could start today.
We're going to pause here for a break. But also, sometimes you set unrealistic weight loss goals. Maybe you want to lose 5 pounds a week. And if you're a bigger guy like my hubby, you may lose 5 pounds a week at first, but it's not healthy. You want to lose a couple pounds a week, and I'll have Amber speak into that on the other side. But here's what she writes. The discipline of healthy living was a far better situation than experiencing the discipline of God because of my gluttony. It's often said that losing weight is hard, but being overweight is also hard. So just choose your heart. I'll be back in a minute. And amen. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Amber Leah. Her book is titled Food Triggers, Exchanging Unhealthy Patterns for God-Honoring Habits. And I said this at the outset of the show. The bad news is we as a nation are more unhealthy than we've ever been as far as our life expectancy. But we've got incredible, incredible resources. The good news is we've got incredible resources, and we've got a big giant, amazing, powerful God in heaven who cares not only about your spiritual destiny, but your physical health. He wants you to be whole, healed, and well. And that's why I do tackle this topic with some regularity on the show, because I want so much for you to know that every step towards healing and health matters, right? In Amber Leah's book, Food Triggers, thanks to Bethany House, we've got a good stack to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And if you got a question or comment, you can send that in a separate text. Amber, talk about our tendency to compare and then despair, and then maybe a healthier way to determine what maybe some of your health goals should be.
Well, comparison in this area is a real serious and common factor. We do compare ourselves. We compare ourselves to one another. We compare ourselves to what we see on the media, but we even compare ourselves to the past. Oh, way back when I was healthier, you know, I had all of these, you know, this energy, and I felt I could fit into those clothes. Probably a lot of us have a range of sizes, even in our closets, things that, you know, don't fit, but we're hanging on to them for that hope that we will again. And so comparison, I think, is very typical in human nature, but it really hinders us because we keep our eyes off the prize when we do that. And when we are looking to the future and who we are trying to become, a healthier person, whether it's, you know, other forms of addiction or in your health journey on a weight loss sense, we really are going to focus on where our gaze is. And so when we're looking to the future, when we have a clear picture of what we want to become and what our goals are, then we're in a much better place to actually achieve those goals. So comparing ourselves, while it's human nature, I would encourage you to, every time those thoughts come to your mind, to take them captive and make them obedient unto Christ, because that's what our enemy wants us to do. He wants us to feel less than. He wants us to feel guilty. He wants us to devalue ourselves. And I think that in this area, especially when it comes to self-image, it's very damaging. So, You know, Susie, I think that the key for all of us is just to remember that when we fix our eyes on the Lord, He's going to help us change these negative thoughts, all of this comparison, all of this hopelessness. He really, truly does. And sometimes it's just a prayer. Lord, just help me today. I don't want to compare myself. Help me to look towards the future of what you're going to help shape me into.
Yeah. Dr. Troy, who we have on the show every month, he says self-contempt will do more damage to your soul and your cells than any sickness ever would. And so, friends, maybe that's even a place to start, where you start to just say to your soul out loud, I love myself because God loves me. I'm getting stronger and healthier every day. You know, God loves you. And I think if you start to say that, you're going to bump into some kind of resistance and realize you've been holding yourself in contempt. You've been diminishing your worth and the fact that you're a masterpiece. And as Amber was saying, you don't have to be fully into your even ideal weight to love yourself and to enjoy the love of God. But I think it starts there, don't you think, Amber? For us to move to our optimum health, we've got to get rid of self-hatred, self-contempt, and all the diminishing messages that we ourselves perpetuate.
Yeah, we are made in God's image. And if God sent his son, Jesus, to die for us on the cross, if we're that valuable to him, then it's really a disrespectful thing for me to really devalue myself and my worth. Like, we are so precious to the Lord. And I think people need to hear that today. They need to be reminded that their life matters. And just because we stumble, because we fall, because we sin, that doesn't mean that it's not worth it for us to trust the Lord that he's going to help us and to make steps in the right direction. And I think about, you know, oftentimes, whether it's overcoming smoking or shopping addiction or this weight loss journey, we tend to quit on ourselves too soon. We don't give ourselves a fighting chance. And I talk about the idea of when my boys were little and they were learning how to walk and they would stumble and fall. And then they would take a few steps and stumble and fall again. But never did they say, no, walking for the rest of my life is not worth it. I'm stopping. I'm not going to keep trying. And yet we do that with something as important as our health and our future. And we imagine that, well, it was hard this time and I keep trying and I've never been able to get a handle on this, so I'm not going to try anymore. And I want to encourage people to not give up on themselves and not to have those negative tapes in their head that they can't succeed and that they can't have victory, because our identity in Christ is that we are overcomers. He overcame the world, and greater is he who is in us than is in the world. And so we by nature are overcomers. And so that's the truth that we need to hold on to.
Amen. One of our listeners named Tom from Madison. Wow, Tom, you're amazing. He sent a picture. We have a text line, a very active text line. So that's where we're getting a lot of these messages. Lots of people texting and resonating. But he says, my willpower system, I just put a time delay lock on the refrigerator after dinner, and it doesn't open until the next morning. And so he sent in a picture of his refrigerator with this time delay lock. So, hey, whatever it takes, Tom, I think that's amazing. And then another Tom said, I was sick in November. I lost 30 pounds. That's a lot of weight to lose in a short amount of time. Could hardly eat or drink anything. Not a good way to lose weight, but I only regained 10 of those pounds. I'm now drinking 125 to 150 ounces of water a day. Now, I've heard, Amber, that you're supposed to drink close to your weight, at least. I mean, is that not right? I mean,
about half your weight.
Half your weight. That's right.
About half your weight is a good, point to consider. And it will depend too. If people are very active, if you're someone who works out a lot, you're going to want to drink more. If it's a season where the heat is on and we need to, you know, monitor that we're sweating a lot. And if you are, then you want to be drinking more water as well. So taking into consideration time of year and also your activity level. But yes, that's a good starting point for sure.
I love that. Our listeners are really amazing and so engaged. I just love them. This dear listener said, as a therapist, acceptance is a beginning to healing because God loves us right now. When I accept humanity, then I can love and move forward instead of beating myself up. That's so good. I just think we need to give that a hearty amen. So,
amen.
You know, here, we've just come so far and we've barely touched the external and internal triggers. So let's tackle some of these. And one of them, I mean, we touched on a few of them just kind of indirectly, but one is when you feel defeated before you start. And I would imagine if a person would feel that way, if the gains that they need to make feel insurmountable, if it feels like this is too much, maybe they're trying to carry it all at once. What say you?
Yeah. So, you know, again, we tend to have this all or nothing mentality and we get overwhelmed. And there's very few things in life that really support an all or nothing mentality. Most of the things that we do in life require stepping stones. And sometimes we get tangled up and we just need to tangle on, you know, but even failure is a really wonderful teacher. We learn how to do things differently next time. And that's a good thing. So again, so much about mindset and trusting the Lord and recognizing that he has a good plan for us and that even beauty can come from ashes. So even our worst moments, even our past where we just, you know, feel like we're not making progress or there's this sense of overwhelm, if we just get a little bit more, narrow in our everyday viewpoint, like, hey, today is where I'm going to focus. I'm not going to think too much about the past. I know what the future holds and it's good. I'm going to take God at his word on that. And then today, I'm just going to stay on target for the next 2 hours. Can I eat healthy like I've committed to for the next 2 hours? Could I drink the hydration I said I was going to drink for the next 2 hours? Could I not smoke for the next 2 hours? Yeah, I think I can do that. And then at the 2 hour point, if you decide you need to run to, you know, the fast food restaurant and drink the soda or do the thing, then give yourself permission. But tell yourself, okay, but for these 2 hours, I'm going to stay on track. And then when you get to that 2 hour mark, you can go, okay, could I do this again for another 2 hours? I think I could. And then if you keep going in that direction, it really allows us to not feel like this is an issue that I cannot tackle. And instead, we can just take it 2 or 3 hours at a time.
Amen and amen. You know, for a long time, there was so little focus in the body of Christ around issues of weight because the world had made such an idol out of the body that the pendulum swung the other way in the church going, I don't want to touch this because the secular world has made such an idol, but we have to, because there's a point where you ignore your, if you kind of absolve yourself going, well, I don't drink, I don't smoke, but I'm not going to pay attention to all the, you know, the consumption. Eventually your doctor is going to say, if you don't stop, this is going to be a domino of many in your health. So maybe talk, I don't remember the number, but that, you know, we are spending billions in obesity-related illnesses because it ripples out. It doesn't just, it's not a contained issue. So maybe just speak the very real threat if we don't address this.
Yes. So the reality is that the majority of Americans, and this is really a global issue too, are overweight or obese. It's getting like over 80% really at this point that are overweight and obese. And that's not even talking about our next generation, our kids. The majority of those people are also suffering from preventable chronic disease. We are spending billions of dollars. Diabetes alone actually takes the life of more people than warfare, crime, and suicide combined every year.
Wow.
And it's something that we're not paying attention to. It's really one of the biggest health crises we're facing in our country. And so, you know, God is a good father, and good fathers don't let their kids run wild. That said, we have been, I think, in many ways, unwitting victims. We just haven't been paying attention. And because we weren't paying attention, the enemy has sidled up and is trying to rob us of our lives and our health. And as a result, you know, we have these really tragic statistics that are, you know, rampant right now. The good news is that once we know better, we can do better. And it doesn't take a lot of change. Like you talked about your husband just increasing the water and he lost like 30 pounds. You know, that whole situation is true. It can take very little change for us to have dramatic impact on our health and our well-being. So, you know, even just something as simple as measuring our meals. We live in a society and a culture where bigger is better and the portions are out of control. When you go to a restaurant for a meal, it's often really worth two meals of calories and intake, and yet we're consuming that. And so, you know, our kids, they would open up a bag and just eat right out of the bag for a long time. Now, if I hand them a bag, they're going to wait for the bowl because they wouldn't even think to just reach inside and eat. They're like, where's my bowl? Because we've learned how to do serving sizes. You know, again, we look at the package. Oh, what's the serving size? That's what we need to put in our bowl. So even just being mindful, again, is a really, really practical way for us to honor this temple and steward this body well that God has given to us.
Mm. And as you said, it really has rippled into our children. I mean, anxiety for children is up. Obesity is up. And yet when children are exercising, their IQ, their capacity to learn and retain information, not to even mention having a healthy body image, because nobody is meant to be obese. And so when we are overweight, even as children, and in school, to me, is such a social atmosphere. You know, it's amazing to me kids can even learn anymore because there's so much social pressure to navigate.
Yeah.
So then you add that element of insecurity and self-awareness. I just know we can do better. And as God's people, we absolutely should, you know?
Yes. I totally agree. And the other good news about that, Susie, is that when I started making changes on my own health journey, I didn't actively try to implement that with my kids right away. But they started picking up on just the way I talked about health and food. I didn't talk really about the scale or my weight loss. I really just said, look, this is a healthy snack. And here's why, you know, this is what it's doing for my body, because food is fuel and food is medicine. And when we stop treating food like a party every time we put something in our mouth, or when we start using food as every focus for our social engagements culturally, then we start to really put food in its proper place and not as an idol in our lives. And so my kids started to pick up on that, like, oh, this is for health. You know, mom, is this a healthy snack? You know, when my toddler asks me that, I just do like a little cartwheel in my head, because I'm thinking, yes, I want him to have a healthy mindset about food and his body, not be all about the scale or what he sees in the mirror, but knowing the purpose and the place of food in his life and not what the culture is going to tell him.
Very good. We're going to pause here. So some of the external triggers that Amber writes about is when you feel defeated before you start, when you're bored, when your clothes don't fit and you can't hide it, when you lack portion control, when your doctor tells you to lose weight before it's too late, when others sabotage you or you sabotage yourself, when community means food, when losing weight is harder than it used to be, when you want to be a couch potato, when you travel, when losing weight is easy for everyone but you. when you need support from someone else, when it's the holidays or you hit a plateau or you eat mindlessly or a favorite beverage keeps calling your name. When we come back, we're going to talk about internal triggers like negative self-talk, being addicted to sugar, when you feel ashamed, things like that. Don't go away. I'm talking to Amber Leah. Her book is called Food Triggers, Exchanging Unhealthy Patterns for God-Honoring Habits. We'll be back in a minute. I picked that song because it's so important for you to know that nothing can separate you from the love of the Father. Nobody can make him change his mind about you. He is sold on the idea of you. He loves you so, so much. If you never change another thing, he will still love you. But he invites you, I believe, to flourish in every area of life. Jesus said, I came that you have life and life to the fullest. Talking to Amber Leah today, her book is titled Food Triggers, Exchanging Unhealthy Patterns for God-Honoring Habits. And she says, our emotions have an important role in our lives. Food has an important role in our lives. Reframing our minds about the God-given gift of emotions helps us to welcome feelings into our everyday experiences without using them as vehicles for harming ourselves by misusing food. When the roles of emotion and food are placed in proper order, losing control of our eating becomes a habit of the past, not of our future. We got a good stack of copies of Amber's book, Food Triggers, to give away. We're going to leave the drawing open for a little while yet. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. So we touched on some external triggers. Let's talk about internal triggers, about someone who maybe is either a stress eater, an emotional eater, like they get triggered, feel suddenly insecure, and they turn right to food. What say you?
Yeah, so emotional mismanagement, I think, is the number one issue for those of us that struggle with our weight. And that was true for me. I didn't want to acknowledge that at first because I felt like God had done a lot of good work in my life and I'd made a lot of progress. And so to look in the mirror and be honest with myself that clearly there were some issues in my heart emotionally that I was not giving to the Lord was convicting, not shaming, but convicting. And what I ended up doing was just looking at this pattern in my life with honesty. And then I needed to confess that to the Lord. So for me, I would really take a lot of pride in pouring myself out for my kids every day. And I was glad to do that, but it did wear me out. And because I was so overweight, I was also very drained by like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. I didn't last very long. My kids would want me to be outside playing with them in the trampoline. I didn't have the energy to do it. Just wanted to become a couch potato. And then by the time I got them in bed every night, my pattern was to have a big heaping bowl of ice cream. And I definitely had a sugar addiction. But what I realized is I wasn't feeling very satisfied in my life. I knew that there were some things that God was calling me to do that I wasn't doing. And so that for me was the root. I had to recognize that I wasn't feeling fulfilled emotionally because I wasn't actually stepping into the things that God was calling me to do that were going to satisfy my heart and my longings when I'm in the center of his will. And so when I made that connection, it allowed me to release the emotions to the Lord and to be courageous to do the things he was calling me to do and to stop trying to reward myself and find comfort in the ice cream every night. And that was super important. You know, emotional hunger originates in our hearts. So feeding our stomachs is always going to leave us empty. And that's what was happening with me.
You got to say that again. Say that one more time. Emotional?
Sure. Emotional hunger originates in our hearts. So feeding our stomachs will always leave us empty.
Excellent. Wow. So would you say, and you don't have to answer this, I mean, really, you don't have to answer this if you don't want, but of course, you know, you had weight gain with four kids, you know, four pregnancies in a row. I mean, that isn't enough in itself. But did you happen to note any unresolved trauma, hurts, or anything else that possibly food was sorting to kind of stuffing, you know what I mean? Were you eating
sure.
to kind of,
mm-hmm.
okay.
Yeah.
Because it feels to me like so often that we can turn to some things, any kind of numbing agent, so we don't have to feel. I mean, sometimes I would say sugar addictions happen just because we have such high carb diets and sugar is so highly addictive. But I think a lot of times, as you say, even emotional eating, there's mm-hmm. something underneath that needs our time and attention.
Yes. So for me, it was a series of things, which I'm sure many of us can relate to that. I'd had a miscarriage in between my third child and my fourth. And that was painful. It was so shocking to me that and so unexpected that I didn't even have time to really process it. I remember afterwards people would ask me, because I was about 11 weeks or so pregnant, 10 weeks. And I remember people asking me if I knew if it had been a boy or a girl. And I remember saying, I didn't even think to ask or find out or any of that information. And so I never knew. And I think there was just so many things emotionally that I didn't have time to deal with, because I had three other little boys at home that needed me. And I was just caught up in that. And so I recognized that I had not processed a lot of that grief. And many of us are dealing with grief. And it's super important to feel all that we feel and not numb it with a meal, which is mm-hmm. what I was doing. And that was one thing that I needed to work through with the Lord, and just to really allow myself. One thing that I decided when I recognized that for me with the grieving is that I would stop holding back. So if I was at church and something brought to mind that painful memory, I let myself shed those tears. If I thought about those little I miscarried twins. If I thought about those babies, I would just say, Lord, thank you so much for walking me through that and for the gift of the kids that I have here with me. And I look forward to seeing those little ones someday. And just not just ignoring it, but processing it, praying through it, allowing the emotions to come. That was a big thing for me. And then my husband had lost his job a while back, wow. and we were going through financial stress and pressure, and that left a lot of angst in my heart. And that for me was okay, Lord, I got to come back to remembering that you provide every need and that I'm not going to find any help at the bottom of this ice cream bowl. That's only going to come from you. And I needed to focus back on God's promises that he is going to take care of us in every way, financially included. So a combination of those two things at the time were my trigger points.
Well, first of all, so sorry for that loss. That's so significant. But I so appreciate you sharing, because it really is so often a person may think, no, I just like ice cream. But if they can slow down long enough where they're not numbing anymore, it's like you have to feel it to heal it. And once you start to feel it, God starts to heal it. And so there's a dear listener who just texted in and said, I have a major sugar addiction. What would be your advice for someone? Because I know that this person speaks for many people who have major sugar addictions. What would be first steps to develop a new habit?
So here's some freeing news for people. I hope if anybody has a sugar addiction, this is going to bring you some relief, because here's the thing. Sugar addiction is not your fault. Now, I know that we're the ones, right, putting the food in our mouths. But what a lot of us haven't realized is how addictive it is and how prevalent it is in everything we eat. It is a mission of the food industry to keep us hungry and to keep us wanting more, because that's good business. And one of the things that I think is very freeing to know is that there's this cortisol dopamine loop that goes off in our bodies, this chemical reaction in our bodies and in our brains that creates a leptin decrease. And when that happens, it causes us to not be able to be satisfied or satiated. In fact, that cycle, that chemical storm that's going on in our bodies when we ingest refined sugar, it's actually more addictive than cocaine. And so study upon study shows how powerful that is. So if we can break that cycle, if we can go through a detox, which can take really only a few days, that's the good news. But if we can break that chain, get off sugar, refined sugars, and turn towards more natural sugars, then we're going to have a fighting chance to actually work on some of the habit formation without that strong drug pull that's happening in our bodies. So it's very freeing to know it's not all your fault. You probably didn't realize all this that was going on within you and how much sugar is in everything around you. But let's wake up and pay attention. Let's start eating healthier options and say no to that refined sugar and a lot of the processed foods that we eat. And then we actually will feel more satisfied and drawn and crave the healthier foods.
Mm-hmm. It's been said that the devil seduces, then accuses. So he baits you into sin and then beats you over the head for falling into his trap. But you know what? It stops today. God wants you healthy, Amber. This was fantastic. Thank you for joining us today. Such good content.
Oh, you're so welcome. God bless every listener. Let's keep making one healthy habit change at a time.
Amen. Amber Lee is my guest. Food Triggers is her title. I pray you found some encouragement here. Meet me back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.